I'm Arlie Neskay, and you're listening to Wisdom of the Elders. On today's program, Honoring Native Women, we pay tribute to a brave and courageous young Asante woman. Barbara Roberts introduces us to Zona Lone's Arrow of Fort Yates, North Dakota, on the Standing Rock Indian Reservation. Zona tells a story of her great-grandmother who was captured by the Blood Band of the Blackfeet Nation.
The raiding party of the Blood Band attacked the Nisante Sioux hunting camp. They kidnapped the teenaged girls. None of them were older than 13 or 14. They rode north on horseback into what is now Canada. Among those girls was Zona's grandmother.
In her mind, she marked the places they went and what hill and what water, the trees, and even the mountains, and how many days they rode and what happened to them. And so my grandmother, she taught me how to observe. She wanted to get back to her people. That's all she had in mind.
Wrenched from her home in an extraordinary test of will, she learned how to survive for the 4 or 5 years she remained with the enemy. Survival meant being a faithful companion and servant.
And this man that stole her had 3 other wives. Now she observed him, what he does. She was a good rope maker. She tanned the hides, and so she made some ropes for him and kept some for herself. She was making moccasins for herself as well as her husband. She'd make dry meat and make some more bags for water and stuff. She would give it to her husband, and she kept some. She took them and hid them in the mountains, in a cave someplace. She hid all these provisions that she was going to one day pick up and go.
The seasons came and went. Then it was the dead of winter. The weather was treacherous, but she knew the time had come to make the 1,000-mile journey home.
And this winter is the time now that she was going to escape. Sure enough, the night came. The day came when it woke up to blizzard. She opened the back of her tent. Out she went.
The reason for leaving during a blizzard is as frightening as it is ingenious.
That blizzard, it blew snow, so they couldn't track her. See, that's another thing of wisdom she knew. So she went, and she went to her cave. She dug snow and she went inside and she got her provisions out. She fixed them up and put them on her back.
By that time, it was daybreak. She had water, dried meat, and dried berries to keep her going. She was wearing snowshoes she'd made specifically for this moment.
She snuck out of that cave and she walked. She walked south, she said, from where the sun comes up. She went towards the Itokaha. And that's south, she said. She walked, walked and walked till daybreak.
When she needed rest, she'd huddle up in snow shelters that she'd dig out for herself.
She was always a slim woman, so, and strong, so she don't eat very much. She had dried berries and stuff that she had, so she ate some, and then she said by the fourth day, she passed that mountain where a chief is lying down with his war bonnet. That's called Chief Mountain, I guess, now. And that tells me that she was still in Canada. And she always dug cave in the snow, and she sat in there, and she watched them. She didn't want to move, so she knew that they represent the army or some sort. So she called them Red Coats.
It was the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Determined to get home to her people, she prepared to do battle with one of the guards. She wanted a weapon. She knew she would kill him or die herself.
She was hiding behind this tree, and she sprung at him, jumped on his back, slit his throat, and down he went and never made a sound. So then she took that bandolier off of him and that gun, and she ran.
She laid low for about a week while the authorities looked for the guard's killer. When the search was over, she got on her way again. As the frigid wind blew fiercely, under cover of night. But this time, things were different. Her loss of innocence was even more profound, as this time, she'd killed a man. This was something like the provisions on her back that she'd carry with her.
That's the first killing she made, but she did it to survive. She did it to get that gun and them shells.
And she knew how to use them. She'd learned how from her kidnappers. Now that she was armed, she was able to summon up the courage to take on another bloody battle. This time with a bear. There she stood, hiding behind a tree as the bear was charging, running on all fours.
She jumped out in front of him, and he stopped and he raised himself up. She took out that gun and held it under his throat. She pulled a trigger and she went down with the bear.
Bloodied and grateful to be alive, she made camp. Because of that bear, she now had fresh meat to eat. But there was still more walking to do. Tired but driven, she continued. Her next fight for life came from a mountain lion. He took her by surprise. But she took him down much the same way she did the bear. After she ate some of the meat, she'd get up and keep walking. Each step, each encounter, made her tougher and more determined that none of this would be in vain. She would get home.
She always had that knowledge that she's going to get back to her people. And her name was Tawokunzewakawi. That means when she sets a goal, she's going to reach it and more.
Zona's grandmother walked on. She kept following the river until she began to recognize the hills. She knew she was getting closer to home. Then one day she saw a man. She saw his stature, the color of his skin. She knew this must be one of her own. She hid and watched the village for 3 days. Her joy was overwhelming, but measured. She began to walk out in the open. She made a flag out of buckskin and painted it red and white.
She raised it up, and she was walking with it. And this guy here, he got on a horse and he came. He went around her 3 times and he asked her, "Who are you?" And so she said, "I am Tawokunzewakawi, a daughter of," she named her dad and her mother Good Day, "but I can't come near you because I killed a person."
Her people had long written her off as dead. As word of her incredible arrival spread, a crowd of people went to see her for themselves.
"Don't come near me, I'm unclean. I killed a man, that's me." Everybody was crying. She wanted to hug her mother and her dad and her little sisters, but she can't because she killed that man.
Her people respected her story of survival and courage, set up a sweat lodge, and prepared her for isolation. The holy men came to pray for her, and the women helped her feel clean again.
They washed her up with sage and water, and that steam, you know. Then they put a black mark on her chin and on her forehead, meaning that she killed.
It was determined that she should spend 4 days in isolation.
Then they took her back to the camp, and they had a rejoicing time. They had a feast and a dance, and they gave her a feather to wear, and they named her a brave woman.
And so this was the story of a woman's journey from desperation to triumph. A story that Grandma Zona will pass down through the generations and offer as evidence that extraordinary focus and a strong will can beat the odds and get you home. For Wisdom of the Elders, I'm Barbara Roberts.
No one knew her exact age, but Tawokunzewakawi lived to be well over 100. And during the 1930s, she helped to raise her great-granddaughter, Zona, instilling in her as a young girl the courage and bravery, as well as skills of tanning hides, making moccasins, and gathering medicines. Zona Lone's Arrow still practices these traditions to this day on the Standing Rock Indian Reservation in North Dakota as an example to younger generations. I'm Arlie Neskai. You're listening to Wisdom of the Elders. Vocalist Sissy Goodhouse spends much of her life working with children and families while she explores and promotes her Lakota heritage at the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota. Seventh Generation from the CD Tribal Voices reflects the continual passing down of culture to the children. The song, written by Cedric Goodhouse Sr. and sung by Sissy, honors the Indian way, saying, "Come, people, come to the center and stand, because it is you that has shown me how to love this Indian way. Recognize, Winterbird Woman." Seventh Generation from Sissy Goodhouse's CD Tribal Voices, available from Earthbeat. Coming up in Health and Healing, Judy Bluehorse Skelton shares some thoughts on traditional therapies. In Tribal Rhythms, Nico Wynn brings us some women's honor songs.
The tradition of honoring people has a role in Native cultures that goes beyond just that of recognition.
I'm Arlie Neskai. You're listening to Wisdom of the Elders.